In the 17th century, this religious faith was secularized in the notion of human progress through science and technology, and by the end of the 18th century, the idea of human progress was a dominant idea in Europe, etc., etc., etc. This is where we get the European or the Christians who say, well, there's God, and, you know, God created Earth, and da-da-da-da, and, you know, it's all about human beings, and that's it. And it's really stupid. But these are you two really players in all of this. He writes in here, he says, what I suggest, oh, wait a minute, I'll start here. So how does this process happen? In my books, A New Science of Life and the Presence of the Past, I attempt to explain how the habits of nature can evolve. What I suggest is the existence of a kind of memory inherent in each organism. Now, crap about the 100th monkey, and saying that the 100th monkey, as we put it out, was not exactly the true case of the 100th monkey. And I went, well, I says, and maybe that story could be incorrect. I says, I don't know, I'm taking it from a story that I heard that I've kind of accepted as maybe being real and stuff. And I says, and the reason why I took it as being real is because I know it's the truth. Whether or not it was done with these monkeys or not is irrelevant. Then call it an example. But I says, to me, it still exists that there is an evolution through all species of any kind of organisms and that they convey their knowledge to one another and progress. He said, fine. But what's very interesting is I've never had anybody come forward, really, to agree with me on a scientific level. But I've always known this to be absolute truth. So I'm flipping through this. And it says, what I suggest in the existence of a kind of memory inherent in each organism, and what I call is metaphotogenic or morphic field. As time goes on, each type of organism forms a specific kind of cumulative collective memory. The regulatories of nature are therefore habitual. Things are as they are because they were as they were. The universe is an evolving system of habits. For example, when a crystal crystallizes, the form it takes depends on the way similar crystals were formed in the past. In the realm of animal behavior, if rats are trained to do something in San Francisco, for example, then rats of that breed all over the world should consequently be able to do the same activity more easily through an invisible influence. They just somehow know, because they're all the same thing. Because the universe has habits for every specific thing. So if there's a new thing that one's doing, they all must do the same thing, because that's the law of the universe, which means what? Everything is collectively, progressively moving forward. You understand?
Yeah, well, it's a perfect question to raise an eyebrow about is how do habits form in the first place, you know?
I thought it was just, I don't know, anything that I say, if somebody's going to agree with me, that's intelligent. I mean, I have to beat it into the ground. I thought it was wonderful information. There's already evidence summarized in my books that these effects actually occur. This hypothesis also suggests that in human learning, we all benefit from what other people have previously learned through a kind of collective human memory. This is an idea very like that of Jung's collective unconscious. So what are they really saying? What is the key word?
Collective.
Which is what?
Akashic.
Thank you. So that's really what they're going back to. They're just going back to ancient knowledge, what they've always known. They're just trying to find ways of proving it now through testing plants and trying to see if another plant will start mimicking the other, or in animals and tests. They're just beginning now scientifically to conceive and understand these things. Which goes back to something that I said a long time ago. Everything I teach you is probably likely the absolute truth. But in time, it will take science to figure out what it is of the adaptation of what you really have learned already so much. Could there be a kind of imagination working in nature that is similar to our own imaginations? Could our own imaginations be just one conscious aspect of an imagination working through the whole natural world? Perhaps unconsciously, as it works underneath the surface of our dreams, perhaps sometimes consciously? Could such an ongoing imagination be the basis of evolutionary creativity in all of nature, just as it is in the human realm? Terence McKenna takes these questions, and of course I'm jumping here a little bit, okay? He says, for me, the key to unlocking what is going on with history, creativity, and progressive process of all sorts is to see the state of completion at the end as a kind of higher dimensional object that casts an enormous and flickering shadow over the lower dimension of the organization of which this universe is one. For instance, in the human domain, history is an endless round of anticipation. The golden age is coming. The Messiah is immediately around the corner. Great change is soon upon us. All of these intimations of change suggest a transcendental object that is the great attractor in many, many dimensions, throwing out images of itself that filter down through lower dimensional matrices. These shadow images are the basis of nature's appetite for greater expression of form, the human soul's appetite for greater immersion in beauty, and human history's appetite for greater expression of complexity. What is he saying?
People will manifest by all thinking?
No. What he's saying is actually very brilliant. It's very very interesting. I've said it to you guys in different ways, but God needs to motivate us to be stimulated, to create, to think, to add to Him. So what is a will or a desire in His part is broken and filtered down to the next level, the cosmos. As the cosmos is filtered and breaking it down into 20 million rays of interest. Those 20 rays, it's kind of like multi-level marketing, break down into billions of smaller rays throughout the universe and then infinitive through the solar system so they reach the planet until we receive it. And all of a sudden, this ray that hits the planet hits all of the nervous system of the planet and we go, something's going to happen. Something's going to change. Let's see. What is it going to be? Let's say there's a revelation of the Messiah coming around the corner. There's a need. There's something inspiring, something in all of us. It's God's way of communicating with the universe through the sun, through solar radiation, whatever measures or means we want to discuss it. Okay, it's what is the inspiration, the instinct that we all feel that there is something else more than us. It's the willfulness of it manipulating us as a species, as a collective consciousness, as a nervous system, to get us to motivate, to output. Do you understand what I'm saying? To create consciousness, to create thought, to become alive. Your heart doesn't pump because it just wants to pump. It's because something's telling it to pump. It's telling it to live. What is telling it to live? How does it know? Can it think on its own? Not like we can think. So something from a higher place is moving through this galactic universe to constantly tell it, pump, breathe, live, you want to live. Same is the same for the Earth, for all the species, for all the organisms, for everything. Do you understand that? And this is really what he's saying in there. I haven't finished this, but I'm very interested now that I took it off the bookshelf and marked it all up. I'm going to have to buy it. In either case, it's just very interesting to see that they're on the same track that I've been teaching you guys. And the thing that's amazing is you probably know more than they do. It's just that you guys lack the quality to be able to convey that and to teach it yet at this point in your life. Maybe by the time you're 30, it will have fermented inside of you, this knowledge. You know, well, if you know something, if you don't exercise something, it becomes stagnant and dead. I keep telling you guys this. The only way for you guys to get to a higher level of knowledge is by teaching. And this is really what it goes right back to. It goes right back to the ventriloquist, okay? This is obviously a mirror of his own intellect that he's somehow tapping into. But because he can't believe that his identity, being who he is, whether it's Bob is a mechanic, Bob is kind of intelligent, Bob is just an ordinary Joe. Where would Bob know these things, and how could Bob dare to even think that he could figure out these things that the greatest scientists are working on? So what does he do? He creates an alter consciousness to tell him this, which tells his brain, it's okay, you can talk to me now because it's not you, and you're really figuring this out, and you're really tapping into something higher, but even though you may not even realize that's what it is because you're too afraid to say that, so you've limited it from information coming through this dummy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
So, the point is that you guys all have that same capacity. You have the same ability to do this.